me now. There we go. It's better, right? Oh, how's everybody doing this morning? Is everybody happy to be here? Is everybody happy it's Sunday? Is everybody happy to go back to work tomorrow? Neither am I. That's, yeah. Okay, so today we're going to continue our sermon series on baggage. And today we're going to talk about emotional baggage. Okay, we're going to go over a couple questions. Okay, the question number one is what negative emotional door have you left open? Okay, if you're taking notes, try to write that down. All right, today we're going to talk about the power of God and being able to open and close the doors. Okay, he opens doors, he closes doors. That's what he does, right? Sometimes we don't want those doors to shut. But every time he shuts a door, he opens up a better door or one that's more for us. But when we talk about emotional doors, we talk about our feelings. Who in here likes to talk about their feelings? Nobody, except for Ruth. She has all kinds of feelings back there. But like nobody likes to talk about their emotions, their feelings, the way they feel. You know, who here, when they were dating their significant other, you were told that you were a, what would you call it? You feared commitment because you didn't share your feelings and emotions with others. Most men have, let's be truthful, I mean, most men have that problem. We don't like to share what we feel and this, that, and the other. But today we're going to open up and we're going to talk about emotional baggage. Now, we talked about last week where baggage was stuff that we carried around with us, stuff that affected us, stuff that we just couldn't let go. We talked about how some people have like a little carry-on bag, and we talked about how my wife packs the entire car up for a vacation. You know, there's different kinds of baggage. Well, it's just this the same way. We carry emotional baggage. We carry, you know, different kinds of baggage out there. But today we're going to talk about emotional baggage. If you have ever heard or experienced actions that are negative to you, raise your hand. You have. I promise you, you have. And the reasoning behind that is because that's the way people are. That's the way people are. But we're going to talk about two specific kinds. And we're going to talk about 1 Samuel 15:24. And it says, I have sins. I have violated the Lord's command. Now, why did he do this? He said, I have sins, I have violated the Lord's command. Why did he say that? He also says, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. That's important. Okay, we're going to read that again. He said, I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. In other words, he felt bad, so he just gave the people what they wanted. Okay, has anybody ever heard about the $20 bill? Where, like, somebody holds up a $20 bill and is asked, do you want a $20 bill? No? Okay. Well, let's say, okay, I'm going to give out a $20 bill. Who will take a $20 bill right now? All day long, right? Okay. Well, if I crumble up that $20 bill and I hold it up and I say, do you still want this $20 bill? You're going to say, of course, why not, right? And if I stomp on it, I could throw it in water, I could dry it out, I could make it. Whatever you did to that $20 bill, you're still going to want that $20 bill. Because why? It's still worth $20. Okay? But when people get put down, they get upset, they don't feel good enough, they think that everybody's against them, they hold that emotional baggage in, they think they're worth nothing. But there's no difference between the way that the $20 bill is and the way we are. We're still worth something. We're not completely worthless. But people have that tendency to bring that out of you, where you feel like you are worthless, where you are always like that. And that's what we're talking about. That is emotional baggage. That is stuff that you carry around with you. The sad thing is the people that do it don't realize they do it. They think they're bettering whatever they're doing. Well, that's not always the case. Sometimes you make things worse. Has anybody ever tried to understand the new trend of clothing for the kids these days? It's impossible, right? It's impossible because, like, ripped jeans are in, you know, all these different clothes are in. You know, you buy the jeans already ripped now, where back when I was growing up, it was never like that. You just hoped to be in that pair of jeans for over a week or two before they ripped and broke and your mom yelled at you. Now, that's the style. Okay, that's the style. People buy, these jeans are like $160 jeans that people are buying, which is crazy. But the kids get judged for not having that stuff. If you don't have that, people get judged. And that's wrong. People judge them for wearing them, and then people judge them because they don't have them. There's no win-win. Right? Like, you're judged for something that you do, and then if you do the way they want it to do, and then they don't like it, then you're still judged. So what's the moral of that story? No matter what you do, you're still going to be judged. Well, what happens? The kids say, end up saying, I don't care what anybody thinks. Then they don't care. And then they go down a really bad path. It's ridiculous. Because we're forcing people to do this. What's the number one cause of suicides in the world? Bullying. That's a good one, but it's not.
Depression.
That's a good one too, but it's not. Peer pressure. It kind of all wraps up into the thing. Because you know what the number one reason is? Is people telling them they're not good enough. Most of the time when somebody commits suicide, they leave a note. Every time it comes to that. 62% of suicides in the United States is caused by people bullying, depression, and peer pressure. Sad. It's sad. But the issue is, it has nothing to do with the person. It has everything to do with the way society looks at them. And I'll be honest with you, churches have done a horrible job at combating that. We have. We have made it to the point to where everybody has to be a certain way. You have to follow this God. No, that's not the way that we pray. That's not the way we do this. This is how it's done. That's crazy. To the point to where the kids don't even feel welcome. Young adults, young married couples, they feel like they're more judged at church than they are anywhere else. That's a problem. That's a problem. Here is my thing, okay? We just talked about the kids and the pressures that they have and what they have to go through and what they understand and what they are being pushed to. Well, let me ask you this. What do adults do? Okay, because this isn't just one side. I'm not just preaching this because, the kids have an issue. This is adults. What do adults do? We all have one thing in common. Most adults that have emotional baggage have one thing in common. They have incredible debt. Why? You guys ever heard of trying to pair up with the Joneses? That kind of thing or whatever that's called. My grandpa used to tell me that all the time. It's when you buy and buy and buy because you want to look like this person or you want to look like you have money, but deep down you have nothing. You're living on a Cadillac Taste but a Volkswagen Beetle budget. Tell you what, as you're coming up and as you're a young married couple and, you know, I know everybody that's been married, everybody that's been, you know, the older generation, you know this, it ain't easy coming from the bottom and going up. And as you're going up, you're going to fall. And then you're going to have to rebuild again, correct? That's the way it is. Okay? But when you fall, who's there to pick you up? Yeah, he is. But what happens if you don't follow Jesus? They keep tearing you down. You know, it's funny because my grandpa passed away about 8 years ago, and my grandma was my grandma was going through the grieving processes of it, you know, and it was rough for her. And she lives 1,000 miles away in Florida, so there was only so much we could do. And then she, you know, she was wanting to come up here, but she needed to get the TV service changed over into her name. Well, as she was changing her stuff over into her name, she couldn't because she had no credit. They had to run a credit check. She had no credit because all of her credit was in her husband's name. Like, 65-year-old woman is getting pretty much, you know, her husband just died and she's like, bleh. She can't even watch TV now because she can't get TV because she did, you know, she has no credit. She had her whole life. And, like, they keep chipping away. But we do that as adults. Who here has judged somebody else for not having a nice enough vehicle? Who has been judged about not having a nice vehicle? That's right. Who in here has been judged because their house isn't big enough? It's the way it goes. We get judged all the time, but the moral of the story is we got to figure out a way to get away from it. Got to figure out a way to get out of it. Because as adults, we get just as judged and just as bullied as the kids do. That's why when the kids tell me in youth group, they're like, oh, I can't wait to be an adult. You have no idea what you're looking for. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Enjoy it while you don't have to worry about everything. You know, if you open your Bibles to Luke, we're going to read Luke 10:38. And the reasoning this is because it's important. I think it's important to understand. So I'm going to start. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? The Lord answered, Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Who in here has got a phone call from a family member and said, hey, we're in the area, we're going to stop by the house in 5 minutes, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. Who in here has got a phone call from a friend and they say, we're going to be there in 5 minutes, be ready, and you tell them, I'm not home, because you don't want them to see your house? It's the way it goes, right? Because you spend all this time, you want the house to look good for your mom and, you know, whoever comes over. And, you know, because, you know, your mother's going to judge you if you don't have a clean house. That's just the way it goes. You know, they don't understand that, you know, you have a life and you work. Well, of course they do because they've been through it. They don't care what your house looks like. You do, but they don't. It's because it's not important to them what your house looks like. It's important to you, but it's not to them. You know, me and Emily fight about this all the time. This is a common fight because it just is, and kind of, honestly, it irritates her, so it's just fun to irritate her. It's the way it is. But she's like that. She don't want to have anybody over because the house is a mess. She will literally see somebody pulling the driveway. She will hurry up and put her shoes on and run out that door to meet them outside so they don't come into the house. It's the funniest thing. You know, but she's funny about that. But for many of you, you felt like that you're not good enough. You're not, you know, your house isn't good enough. You're, you know, but in this story here, it says She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So at this point in time, okay, you invited the Lord into your house. Okay, the Lord is sitting there. For one, at that time, that was probably huge, just like it would be today. What would you do? I mean, it would be crazy, right? Would you be worried about what the Lord thought of your house? Don't know about that. Never been in that situation to know what you'd think. But you would think you'd be more like Mary and be more contented on Jesus. Well, it's the same way. Why are we worried about what other people think? Or why are we worried about what we have? Or why are we worried about the people that are bothering us or bullying us or making things difficult in every aspect of our lives when our eyes should be focused on Jesus? Shouldn't care about what they're doing. That's how you get rid of emotional baggage. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's not. I can stand up here all day long, but I'm telling you right now, I've been picked apart probably as many times as you guys have been. It's the way it is. But eventually you hit that plateau where you really just don't, you can't care about what they say because you're not going to better yourself in the future. Because people can tear you down so quickly. And the sad thing is they don't even know it. They don't even know it. You know, Brantley is struggling in reading. He had an evaluation done at school where he was above average on everything, but reading he was below average. And it really bothered him. Well, come to find out he has a kid at school that's been making fun of him because he can't read the right way or as fast as he can or this, that, and the other. And there's a kid making fun of him at school. I get that. I understand now why he's so intuitive of it. But Brantley is one that gets upset about it, and Brantley's very emotional. So he'll be really upset about it for days and days and days. Well, he had an opportunity to take care of the issue and fix it, and he started reading more. He's getting better. It's going to take some time. But his thing is, and what cracks me up, is he's like any other human being, but he reads that first book, and he thinks it's fixed. He's like, hey, I'm done. I can read better now. But man, that's only one book. You know, you need to read more. I know, what am I going to tell him? Like, oh, you got to read every night? I didn't read every night. I didn't want to read every night. I don't want to read every night now. Who enjoyed reading? I didn't. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Whatever, then you just keep reading then. But, like, I didn't enjoy it, so how can I make my son do it? But if he wants to get better, then he needs to read. Just like if he wants to get better at anything else, he has to work at it. Just like the adults, if we want to have a more Christian life, we need to work on it. It's just not going to fall in your lap. Your raise at work that you got because you worked hard didn't just fall in your lap because you sat in a chair. You got it because you worked hard and you worked for it. We work hard. We work for things. We achieve this stuff. We get everything we want in life. We get the house. We get the cars. We get the family. We get the sports. We get everything that we want. But there's one thing lacking, and that's our relationship with Christ. And to be honest with you, I'm going to say 3/4 of the people that say, oh, my relationship is strong with Christ. Oh, I have a great relationship. They're lying. They're lying. Because I tell you right now, I've seen people outside of church acting like they don't even know what church is. And if you were really a Christ follower, it would not be that way. It would not be that way. You would act like you do in church, just like you do Monday morning when you go to work. But we've lost that. You know, this is a battle. This is a battle for me. It's a battle. Like, we're not here to lose. Nowhere in the Bible do we lose in the end. We win. But we got to work to get there. Somehow, Christians nowadays think, oh, I go to church, it's okay. I'm in the family of God, I'll be saved. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but that ain't it. You have to be an active in the Bible. You have to be an active Christ follower to be in the family of God. And we've lost it. We've lost it. If you're not active in it, then what's going to happen? Just like you are at work. If you're at work and you're not doing your job, what is going to happen? You're going to lose it. And it's the same way. Somehow we've lost it. Somehow we're not there. Somehow we don't put God up here where he needs to be. We put everything else up here. Now, what I mean, put God up here. Okay? That's not drop everything in your entire life and do nothing but read the Bible. Don't go and do this. You know, one of the biggest things I have fought with my entire life has been sports and church. Sports and church. Like, where do they go? Like, do I go to church? Do I go to church and then straight to there? Or do I, you know, what about this? Like, if I don't go do this, is God going to punish me because I didn't go do this? Is God going to be mad that I take my kids to sports on a Saturday instead of going to do a church function? You can't answer me that because it's not something that we know. Somehow I got it worked out in my head that I've got it taken care of. Like, I'm leaving here today and I'm going straight to Hoopston for a football game. Four of them. I'm busy, but that's the way it is. But see, I have God here where he needs to be. And people sometimes put everything else above God. And that's a bad way to go. We can't get rid of our baggage. We can't get rid of our emotional baggage or any other baggage that we have in our life until we start putting Christ up here. We start putting Christ up here. When I mean up here, okay, my line is God, my wife, and then my kids. God, wife, and kids. And everything else will follow. But if I had that relationship with God first, then it all comes through. Somehow we need to get back to that. We need to give God our baggage and let him know. Just because we give him his baggage don't mean it's over. It means we need to talk to him about it still. Because it's going to bother you still. You're going to be like, God, remember this? It's coming back. It's coming back in my head. I can't get rid of it. Can you help me? Because you will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come with emotional baggage. We come with all kinds of issues that we have. We come with people making fun of us, people putting us down for what we don't have. We not feeling like we're not good enough. You know, God, that's a problem. In church, we shouldn't feel like we're not good enough. In church, we should feel like we're fulfilling what you want done. We should be feeling like you put us at this church to grow the community or grow the word of God, but yet for some odd reason, we don't feel like that. We feel like that we're being judged by everyone. Lord, we want to pray that if there's somebody in here right now that feels like that, we want to take the burden from them. Let them know that, you know, it's not about the burden that you're carrying or the baggage that you have. It's about our relationship with you. Lord, and we pray that somebody understands this. And I know somebody needed to hear this today. And I just know that it helped them. Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.